From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, open lines. We'll also take your texts and your tweets. Happy birthday, by the way, to Coast regular fan and listener, Brennan James Callen. Happy birthday, Brennan. Here's what's happening. Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton has now extended her lead over Republican rival Donald Trump to 8 percentage points. Hey, it's still early. Still have 3 months to go, but this was a Reuters poll released Tuesday, today, from 6 points on Friday. The bump for Clinton followed the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia last week, at which Clinton and her supporters painted an optimistic portrait of America and came amid controversy over Trump's comments about the parents of a slain Muslim U.S. soldier hero. Republican presidential nominee, though, Trump said that President Barack Obama was the worst president maybe in the history of our country after Obama called Trump unfit to serve and woefully unprepared to do this job. He said that earlier in the day. Dr. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com. I knew this was going to get vicious. It started.
It certainly has. But here's the thing that, you know, that they're very clever. And really, Hillary was coronated really as the smoke blower in chief, because really she outmatches Trump with all her experience, the vast experience of the Clintons and whatever. She is supremely more competent at smoke blowing than Trump, who's a more politically incorrect, sort of direct guy, just sort of, you know, tells it like it is. So here you have, right before she goes on, this Muslim family that comes on and lambasts Trump, holds a constitution up to him. And essentially, it's like humiliating him before she goes on her speech. The gold star. I mean, what could be more clever on the part of them to use somebody like this as a hack, a political hack, and then to rip Trump, basically, for daring to suggest now that it's been revised that we should be vetting Syrian refugees or refugees in general from war-torn areas in the Middle East. But they have just milked this on every nightly news show. And I have to tell you, George, I mean, Jeff Zucker, the CEO of CNN said this just recently, that we've moved as a network way too far to the left. Well, I can tell you, they're further left than Rachel Maddow and the CNBC crowd. So I think what's happening right now is that people are digesting the ultimate smoke-blowing presentation that went on in that convention that was all happy talk about how wonderful everything's. No racial tensions. Everybody just gets along so well. Police aren't being slaughtered in the streets. The Middle East isn't aflame with terrorism. The new war front that was just announced today that's been opened up in Libya, where the U.S. announced bombing missions and very carefully said, well, we're not putting boots on the ground. Well, that's a third front right now for the U.S. That front was created because of Hillary Clinton. And if Khazir Khan had any common sense and was being intellectually honest, he would have said, oh my God, Trump was opposed to the Iraq war. Hillary was for the Iraq war. My son died in the Iraq war. But no, Trump is, you know, I mean, a racist, and that's the narrative that the Clinton, you know.
Well, wait a minute. You're not calling Trump a racist. Make that clear.
No, that's their narrative from the Hillary campaign.
I had a Trump aide send me a text today, very close to Donald, and he said, "We're going to win, George." And I sent him back a text, and I'm not going to mention his name. And I said, "I don't know. Not if this keeps up the way it's going." And in John, I got to tell you, as of right now, with the poll showing her up by 7-8%, if this keeps going this way, he's not going to win.
Well, no, I mean, I still say that, you know, that she is the favorite at this point. But an NSA official today admitted, a whistleblower from the NSA admitted that the FBI has the 33,000 missing emails from Hillary, and they have not. And the FBI has them also.
Why don't we, I'd be in favor of this, extending the presidential election maybe another 6 months and starting all over again. Why don't we do that?
Well, that would
new primaries, everything.
Because they're going to need a lot more time to be able to penetrate this, the most opaque candidate who cannot tell the truth and who is so skillful, like her husband was, at smoke blowing that the average person can't detect what this is. But I have to tell you, George, that the real issue in this campaign is not her emails. It's not, you know, the miscellaneous stuff about Benghazi. The real issue is the fact that she backs the Saudi proxy war and the war in Libya. And that means, as Trump has said and Bernie Sanders said, we in the United States are going to be in perpetual warfare under Hillary Clinton if she becomes president. That war in Syria, which has caused the biggest immigration crisis since World War II and has driven the UK out of the European Union, is caused because the Obama administration backs the Saudi proxy war because he's taken so much money in building his library from the Saudis, and the Clintons, God knows the kind of cash that they have taken. They won't disclose it.
Well, you're going to find out in a couple weeks with Jerry Corsi's book out called Partners in Crime about the foundation. Wait till you see that one. The mosquitoes spreading Zika in Miami are proving harder to eradicate than expected. The nation's top disease fighter said that as authorities sprayed clouds of insecticide in the Ground Zero neighborhood, emptied kiddie pools, and handed out cans of insect repellent to the homeless, Dr. Tom Frieden, the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, said the mosquito control efforts in the urban neighborhood are not achieving the hoped-for results, suggesting that the mosquitoes are resistant to the insecticides or are still finding standing water in which to breed. Lice, yuck, are becoming more difficult to eradicate in young children's hair, according to a study released last week. New evidence shows that the head lice have developed resistance to two types of common over-the-counter insecticide treatments for lice infestation there. I spent 2 years as a pre-dent student at the University of Detroit years ago. Listen to this one. It's one of the most universal recommendations in all of public health. Floss daily to prevent gum disease and cavities. Except now they're saying there's little proof that flossing actually works. Still, the federal government, dental organizations, manufacturers of floss have pushed the practice for decades. Dentists provide samples to their patients. The American Dental Association insists on its website that flossing is an essential part of taking care of your teeth and gums. When the federal government issued its latest dietary guidelines this year, the flossing recommendation had been removed. All I know is I'm pretty sure flossing reduces gum inflammation. That's my take on it from Dr. George, though I'm not a doctor. NASA's new asteroid sampling mission will do a lot of interesting things, but helping prepare humanity for Earth's imminent destruction is not among them. You know, we've been talking about asteroid Bennu, 1,650-foot-wide asteroid. They say, look, don't stress out. The chances are slim that it's going to hit us. Let's check in, though, with our friend Dr. Sky out there in space. What do you got there for us, Doctor?
Hey, George. Great stuff to hear talking about potentially hazardous asteroids, of course. But this asteroid Bennu actually has one of the most reliable orbits of these PHAs, potentially hazardous asteroids. What we're seeing is this OSIRIS-REx mission to be launched in September on the 8th on an Atlas V rocket. And what we're hoping to do, spending all this money, is actually grab some sample material off of this asteroid, another great spacecraft feat, like we did, of course, with this Juno mission, of being able to scoop asteroid material, return it to the Earth to examine it. But you're so right, and the listener should know, this particular asteroid, we don't really think at all, from science, has a really high probability of hitting the Earth. But there are other missions, George, that we're talking about here with asteroids and collection of asteroids. In the 2020s, we're hoping that is to see NASA's Asteroid Redirect mission. What is that? It's an asteroid probe going to 2080V5. This is another large asteroid, and it's going to attempt to capture a 6-meter boulder, tug it back toward Earth and lunar orbit, putting it in lunar orbit, so astronauts and space scientists can actually mine the thing. That sounds incredible. And finally, another asteroid mission called the Asteroid Deflection mission, also around October of 2020. It's to go to two of these little binary asteroids and actually hit the object to see if we have the technology to deflect it. So everybody can sleep tonight knowing that we are in safe hands, knowing what the space scientists are doing. And George, in the live sky, always great stuff to talk about. Don't forget, go to drsky.com to learn about our Meteor Madness event here in Phoenix for those traveling out here. Only 383 more days, George, till the great 2017, August 21st, total solar eclipse. And here's the showstopper of the week. Look into the northwest just after sunset at the end of August. Both Venus and Jupiter, George, will come within, here it is, 1/30th of a lunar diameter. This is a close conjunction of Venus and Jupiter of biblical proportions, something people don't want to miss in these very, very strange times. Always keep your eyes to the sky.
You got it. Dr. Sky, thank you, Stephen Cates. Up next, Paul Hellyer, the former Defense Minister of Canada, joins us to talk about his latest work, The Money Mafia, A World in Crisis. And welcome back to Coast, one of our favorites. Paul Hellyer back with us. One of his works, of course, was called Light at the End of the Tunnel, A Survival Plan for the Human Species. As you know, Paul has been very vocal and public about UFOs. We'll talk with him a little bit later on in the program about that. His latest work is called The Money Mafia, and we're going to talk with Paul about that right now, because what a time for that. Paul, welcome back.
It's good to be with you again, George.
My God, this world is going crazy. What are they saying in Canada about our presidential election?
I don't know that I can say what they're saying, because they're saying all the same things that a lot of other people are saying, except we really have no right to say much about it. But whatever happens in the United States affects us very directly here. So we have to be very interested and very concerned about what's going on south of the border. One of our former prime ministers used to say we're like next door to an elephant. If it rolls over on you, while you're in trouble. So we're very conscious of what's going on and rather concerned about it.
Yeah, we are too. How is Justin Trudeau doing as Prime Minister of Canada?
Well, he's so far so good, I would say. He's done a lot of innovative things, many of which he promised during the election campaign, which is extraordinary for politicians, and is still working on them. I think it's the bigger issues that are still to come that are my greatest concern. Of course, number one of those is the banking system, the monetary system. Because if you don't solve that one, the world's going to continue to be in terrible, terrible trouble.
Oh, sure.
Have this, 250 million people unemployed and unnecessarily. So it'll be what he does with those issues and with the trade issues, where power is being transferred from nation states to the cabal, as I call it, and transnational corporations, and whether he goes along further with that or not, or whether he puts a stop to it, as a lot of people would like to see. These are the issues that are coming up that I think will really define his term as Prime Minister.
Paul, your latest work is called The Money Mafia, A World in Crisis. Tell us about that title.
Well, the reason it's titled is because the world is in crisis, and it's even more so than at any time before in history. Over 6,000 years or so, empires have come and gone, and we've had these terrible wars, millions of people losing their lives. And a year ago last November, I was standing on the beach on Armistice Day. As a matter of fact, I think it's Remembrance Day in the United States, standing on the beach in Normandy, and reliving virtually World Wars I and II. And the carnage was just so awful, that the comprehension of what had gone on there was just so awful. It was almost more than the human spirit could absorb. And so the problem was, as I walked away from there, I said, I don't think we have really learned anything from this. Everybody says, never again. Oh, we're not going to make a mistake like that again. But then...
Favorite phrase of politicians, Paul, isn't it?
Pardon me?
Never again. That's their favorite phrase.
I guess so. And boy, they really have it down pat. But there we are standing in the sort of center of two world wars, and with the knowledge that World War II wasn't even over. When the Council on Foreign Relations in Washington was plotting another empire. And as early as October 1940, the Council on Foreign Relations realized that Hitler wasn't going to win, and so they decided that they would start planning for an even greater empire. This kind of stuff is really incredible. As early as October 40, years before Germany surrendered to the Allied army, mm-hmm. the Council's Economic and Foreign Relations Group drafted a memorandum outlining a comprehensive policy, quote, to set forth the political, military, territorial, and economic requirements of the United States in its potential leadership of the non-German world, including the United Kingdom itself, as well as the Western Hemisphere and the Far East. And you know, they've been working at it ever since, and they're still working at it. And they have recruited over the years the help of others. They have, of course, absorbed the Bilderberger Group, which is probably the most powerful secret group in the world, and the Trilateral Commission. And these groups are at the apex of what, in my book, I call the cabal, which is really running the United States and the world. And there's never been anything actually like it that I can see, where a small group of people call the shots, and the politicians are really just sort of talking heads as to what's going on. And I'm very concerned because they're doing some things that I personally am very apprehensive about.
Do they know what they're doing, Paul? I mean, this is all done by design, but would you call them brilliant at what they do?
I think it's diabolical. I don't think it's brilliant. It's so out of date, George. Here's a group who plan what they call the New World Organization, the New World Order, which is nothing but another empire, another dictatorial empire, and now, unlike anything that has happened before, though, during those 6,000 years, when we've been building one empire after another, we have weapons that are so much more powerful that war has to be obsolete.
Yes, it's got to be, or we'll destroy everyone.
Through our thick heads yet. You know, in World War I, we had those millions and millions of people slaughtered in the battlefield. World War II, even worse. But it was at the end of World War II, you come along with the atomic weapons, and you're into a whole new ball game.
Do you think any of our candidates get this, Paul, that they understand this, what's really afoot here?
If they did, why wouldn't they talk about it? Why wouldn't they say that we have problems in the world, and we, the leaders of the world, have to do something about it? Because if we, the leaders of the world, don't do something about it, the people on the street aren't going to be able to do something about it. They're just going to be innocent victims of drift into the, perhaps even something as terrible as the end of the human species, which is not inconceivable. So, I guess that's what bothers me after a whole lifetime in the political business, that there isn't one of the leaders of the G20 that has really been saying, here are the big problems. People are preparing for war. They're not telling the truth about it. There are people in the Pentagon who actually believe that they could start a nuclear war with Russia and win it?
We can't. Nobody wins. Paul, stay with us. Going to hit the break. We're going to come back in a moment. Paul Hellyer, The Money Mafia. That's his latest work. We'll also talk about his thoughts about UFOs. Don't forget, he was a former defense minister of Canada. He knows a lot of things. Oh, they sold a handful of tickets in Asheville, North Carolina from last night to today with one simple announcement, because tickets are going quickly. People are saying, they do take walk-ins. I do want you to know that, but it's always nice for you to pick your own seat. Go to our website, coast2coastam.com or georgenori.com, and click the Asheville, North Carolina link that you'll see right there in the middle of the homepage. It's under the highlight reel. That'll take you to the theater's website, and then you look for the date, August 27th. That's the live event. You click that, then pick out your seats and have some fun doing that. I'm going to be there for almost 2 days, and we're going to have a major meet and greet after that, so everybody gets a chance to have some fun. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Paul Hellyer, The Money Mafia. Paul, what would you say is the planet's most pressing problem right now?
The most pressing problem is that if we continue on the trajectory that we are presently following, there is a very real possibility that we will destroy the planet, make it uninhabitable, and that we could even jeopardize the future of the human species altogether. And that's the trajectory. That's the way we're moving. And nobody's trying to do anything to stop it. I heard a mention of the of chemtrails. Well, chemtrails are set up, I'm sure, as a military exercise to provide total global control of the world.
Yep.
And if that is what people are looking at, that's what they're spending their time on. And I think I listened carefully. There was a message about governments being afraid of the people uprising, mm-hmm. and so on. The governments are creating that condition very, very deliberately, so that once having created the problem, then they have to rush to the rescue and say, well, we'll have to take over and establish a dictatorship and look after you poor people, because you don't really know what you're doing and you're poor and you need us to look after you. This is the whole sort of modus vivendi that was dreamed up by these people that started in 1940. They looked at what Hitler had done and they said, hey, there's no future in just going into a country with the military and taking it over, as he tried to do, because the people of the world are going to gang up on you and you're not going to achieve what you want. So instead, you have to be smart and you have to use things like money. You have to get a monopoly on the creation of money. And then once you've got a monopoly on the creation of money, for example, you can decide who's got it and who hasn't. And you control people. You can control whole nations. And then you use trade agreements. And you start by getting, a not too difficult trade agreement, and then you get a bigger one. You keep transferring power from the people to unelected officials, in particular the money cartel, the banking cartel, and the transnational corporations who are currently running the world, and saying, there, you've got all the power now. And they just say, well, we're running the world. The nation states and their leaders are no longer running the world. And if you don't go along with that, we'll sue you. And we've got the resources to back it up. And one of my great disappointments was that President Obama, who was my real hope, and a person for whom I would like to have a lot of affection, was peddling the Trans-Pacific Partnership at the end of... Yep. of his mandate on behalf of the people who were trying to pull this hoax on us. And it's just wrong that leaders should be doing the dirty work of the people that are trying to take over the world for themselves.
They're the puppet masters, Paul.
Well, that's, of course, that's the way the system has been working.
When you were in government, did you see any of this happening?
Did I see any interference from outside government?
Yeah.
Well, of course, the United States was interfering in elections even then, because I know because I was a little bit involved in one of them. And it's a question of trying to be involved in everything everywhere until you ultimately have total domination. And what has gone wrong, George, is a whole set of priorities. You mentioned my earlier book, Light at the End of the Tunnel, A Survival Plan for the Human Species. In it, I have a chapter on Mammon Rules the World. So what are we doing? We've become idol worshipers, and we're worshiping two things. We're worshiping money, and we're worshiping power. And that is what we have become, and we have abandon the concepts of the Creator, who said that we should treat people justly and spend money for the widows and the orphans and take care of the people who had disabilities.
That would be ideal.
Absolutely, and we're not doing it. We're spending nearly all of the money, the cash, on armaments worldwide. And the president, when he was up here in Kansas, said we should spend more on armaments. Well, that's the same thing that Robert McNamara was telling me 50 years ago.
And they were doing it.
And they were doing it, and they're pushing it. Yeah. And that has become the industry. And guess what? You had a prophet down there in the United States, General Eisenhower,
mm-hmm.
who said, open your eyes and see. But we didn't. We don't pay any attention.
What's the end game, Paul? What do they want?
The end game is total domination of the world by a small sect of people who think that they are in many ways superior to the rest of us.
And these are people not necessarily restricted to one country, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It has become an international cabal, and there are people who believe in two classes, the very rich and all of the rest who look after their needs.
Are they doing this because they are bored? They have so much money. They have gorgeous houses, I'm sure. Are they just bored with things? Is this their fun game? Let's manipulate the world?
I really don't know the answer to that question. Oh, I think addiction would be a better word.
Addiction, yeah.
People get addicted with too much money.
And power.
And power, and they say, well, maybe three houses aren't enough. We should have four or five different parts of the
yeah.
world.
Eight countries aren't enough to control. Let's take a few more.
Absolutely, and just keep on pushing it and pushing it. And in the meantime, one of the things that we've fallen short on, for example, was not treating our veterans properly. We had veterans in Afghanistan, and we've had them in other things, and they come home, and they were not treated with the consideration that we were treating veterans after World War II.
No,
we really cared about them.
Not at all. And it was even worse with Vietnam. This was a little better than Vietnam, but not much.
So the whole thing gets twisted around so that the people who deserve some consideration and some help are not getting it, and the people who don't deserve it are getting everything. You know, not too long ago, there was this statistic put out that 88 families owned half of the world's wealth.
88 families.
Yeah, well, then it came down to 80, and the last statistic is 62 families own half of the world's wealth. And you start going across the world.
That's unbelievable.
Well, I find it difficult to believe. I start adding in my mind the cities of the world, you know, Tokyo, Beijing, San Francisco, New York, Montreal, Vancouver, London, Paris, Frankfurt, all of these cities, well, not to mention Mexico City and others, with all of these people and all of this infrastructure, and take every second one of those is 100% owned, lock, stock, and barrel by 62 families, which you could put on a suburban street.
And they must, their holdings must be vast in terms of everything, industry, you name it, they've got their fingers in that pie.
Absolutely, and it's getting worse. And that's what the reason I point out in the money mafia, they've got the system rigged now so that they are buying assets for 5 cents on the dollar. And that's the leverage that the banking system has.
Yeah.
Now, if you or I could, if we had $1,000 and we could just leverage it into 20, that would be pretty easy going, wouldn't it?
And we do it, too.
Yeah.
If we could get away with it.
Yeah, we probably would, but we can't, and they can. And in the meantime, there are people all over the world who haven't got enough to eat, who don't have medical care, who don't have a roof over their head or a shirt on their back. And this is what is so dreadfully wrong when you look at the world as being part of a greater creation of the cosmos. But we're out of tune with what's going on everywhere and out of tune with what was planned. And so little by little, we're reducing our biodiversity, and we're having no respect for the world. If the world, which is a living, breathing organization, if you could speak English, it would say, hey, you're killing me. And that's what we're doing, literally.
Well, here's the big question. Can this be stopped?
Well, I don't know.
Or is it too big, too vast, that you can't stop it?
I guess it can be stopped, it would take some real changes. You know, I have an interesting little book in front of me here. It is the first book I know of that was dictated by the extraterrestrials. And it's called Light at the End of the Tunnel. It was written by a very close friend of mine, Laird Orr, and it's available from Amazon and other outlets.
They basically spoke through him.
Yes, they did 19 sessions, and they're all recorded, and then he puts in a few of his own ideas in between just to provide enough earthly balance to help. But let me read two very short paragraphs.
Sure.
A galaxy, as vast as it is a coherent organism, governed by laws that are still poorly understood by your species, underlined by your species. One of those laws we will call collective will. According to the collective will...
Where'd you go?
Excuse my numb thumbs here. Every individual star and planet as a galaxy works to sustain and guide the integrity and evolution of the whole. And as the term suggests, that collective will is manifested through shared consciousness. So if the Earth were a galaxy, it would be as though one star had so increased in size that the gravitational balance was thrown off, leading to the collapse of any kind of order. In the case of Earth, human energies are distorting the energetic balance in such a way that individual organisms will no longer be able to draw what they need from each other, and the system will succumb to first energetic and then biological collapse. One good sentence at the end. However, do not despair. The situation is by no means hopeless, but the remedy will come first through spiritual and only secondarily by means of technological and scientific transformation. And I think that is the thing that we have to get through our heads, that our priorities are all wrong. They're anti-spiritual. There's me. I need these 5 yachts. I need these 5 houses. I need an annual salary of $10 or $20 million. You can't eat that much stuff, you kill yourself. And what is being said here is that we have to look at the broader picture and we have to walk humbly, and we have to look after a kind of distribution which is a little bit fair. And if you do, then there is still some possibility of situation, of saving the situation before it gets totally out of hand. But is that likely to happen? I don't know.
That's a big question.
Miracles, or I wouldn't get out of bed in the morning.
That is true. Paul, next hour we're going to take calls with you and talk a little bit about the extraterrestrial situation and what's happening there and how you got involved in all of that. But with the money mafia and the fact that they can control, they print whatever they want. They've got this fiat currency, nothing backing it up. They just make what they want. How come these poor third world nations can't do that, but we can print up everything we want at a whim?
Because we won't let them.
That's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Manipulation. Lend them money and hope they default, right?
And if they don't do things our way, why start a war against them?
Yep. Or oust the leader, right?
Well, one or the other, or both.
Yet it's happening now more and more. It seems to be growing. It's not declining.
Well, this is the game plan. It's they're getting more and more power, more and more wealth, and they're pushing people down everywhere in a determined plan to get them so demoralized and so feeling of hopelessness to an extent that they will allow to happen what should never be allowed to happen, and that's the game plan.
Truly unbelievable. Where do you get the book, The Money Mafia?
Where do you get it? You could get it from my website, paulhazardweb.com. Also, the light at the end of the tunnel is available there. Or you can get it from Amazon and other normal sources.
What keeps driving you, Paul? You don't give up. You don't stop.
I'll tell you, I didn't carry pictures of my children in my pocket like a lot of people do. I didn't carry pictures of my grandchildren. But I have three great-grandchildren now, and I carry one of my little granddaughter to remind me never to give up until things like chemtrails are abandoned and until these people running the world try to create the kind of world where there's justice and where there are people in the poor countries as well as the rich countries have enough to eat and clean water to drink and a little basic education and a little basic health care, a shirt on their back and a roof over their head, and enough opportunity that they can see how they can develop their capabilities and make a contribution to the world in their own way, rather than saying, well, we have too many people already, maybe we should work out some diabolical schemes for getting rid of a bunch of them.
There's nothing more heartwarming than to gaze in the eyes of a little baby
and
look at that child and know you've got to leave something for that little human being.
Absolutely, and they're so innocent, and they need our protection, and, you know, that's what keeps me going. Because I believe that we can have the kind of world that people talk about and dream about, a world of justice and peace. But when we had the what they call a peace dividend after the wall came down in Germany, instead of them saying, well, we're going to start using the money we've been using for the Cold War to create a just world of peace, what did we do? We went just in the opposite direction and started spending more and more and more, including starting to get into areas that we maybe shouldn't have gotten into.
Paul, when we come back, let's get your thoughts on the ET presence, and we'll take some phone calls. Final hour to go with Paul Hellyer on Coast to Coast AM.